Well, indeed, it's been a blessing to be with you folks here this weekend, and I guess tomorrow night, too. That's the beginning of the week. Well, actually, today is the first day. But I want to thank you ladies who did such fine cooking at the family camp, and Mrs. Roberts for her wonderful meal this noon, and what a blessing it's been. There are some brochures back there, some of our materials. I know the commentary is expensive, but it's expensive to print them. But there's very few Bible commentaries that are Baptist, that are fundamental, that are pre-tribulation rapture, that are dispensational, that are seven-day literal creation. And that is what is back there in the Independent Baptist commentary. And it's available in hardbound and CD-ROM. So I would encourage you to check it out and before you leave. Take your Bible this evening and turn to Psalm 30. Psalm 30. We're going to read one verse this evening. Psalm 30 and verse 4 says, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." But notice, sing unto the Lord. Our Father, this evening, as we would talk about the matter of music in the Christian life, and particularly in the church, our God, help us now to understand what your word teaches. And I ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Now, again, as we have on this day been talking about how churches move to the left, how churches become liberal, how churches shift in their stance and in their position, invariably, one thing that is a symptom and actually a catalyst is a shift in the music. And let me say this, it usually starts at home in the lives of the church people before it ever makes it to the platform of the church.
That's right.
The music that we listen to. And I'm talking about not only the world's music, folks, I'm talking about religious music. I pause a little short of calling it Christian music because some of it is not very Christian. But it's very, very important. Not only does the Bible shift when a church shifts, but the music shifts. You have wonderful music in this church. I mean, exceptionally, not only in its quality, but in its character. And praise the Lord for that. The problem is the world's music.
That's right.
Music is spiritual in nature. That is, it speaks to our spirit. I know virtually no Russian. I know two words in Russian. Da and yet. That means yes and no. That's all the Russian I know. But folks, I enjoy the music of Tchaikovsky. And music touches our spirit. For example, Tchaikovsky's Sixth Symphony, it's called Pathetique. It's stirring in the pathos of that music. It's spiritual. And the problem with the world's music, and I'm going to define several types of music tonight, sacred, secular, and worldly, but the problem with the world's music is it resonates with our old nature.
That's right.
It's on the same frequency as the old nature. And it stirs and strengthens our old nature. We talked about that Saturday morning at the family camp where the Bible says, "Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." The old nature. All sin in the Christian life comes through the old nature. All bickering and conflict and trouble in the Christian life comes through the old nature. Well, the world's music strengthens the old nature and resonates with the old nature. But I would like to, tonight, by way of introduction, share with you three types of music. Now, I will hasten to say that much of what I am saying tonight comes from the book of Sorensen. Now, we've read a verse of Scripture, may look at another, but I want to share with you my philosophy of music. And incidentally, I was privileged to have my college music training sitting under Thelma Cederholm and Don Scoville. And two godly people. And then I worked for 4 years in a very fundamental Christian radio station. And I've heard Christian music, I mean, thousands of selections of it. And I had close to a minor in music in college. I've played in some outstanding concert bands, and so I know a little bit about music. But I'd like to share with you three types of music tonight, in my view, in my opinion. Number one would be sacred music. And that is the music that is described and defined in the Bible. In the Bible, sacred music was always directed to divine ears and never to human ears. Now, that is an important distinction. Let me say that again. In the Bible, sacred music was always directed to divine ears and not to human ears. We read tonight, "Sing unto the Lord." In Exodus 15:1, Moses cried out, "I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously." In Psalm 28:7, David said, "With my song will I praise him." Isaiah 42:10 says, "Sing unto the Lord a new song." Ephesians 5:19 says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart." Where? To the Lord. To the Lord. And in the scripture, music was always directed toward heaven, always directed toward the Lord. In the Bible, he was the audience of the music. And that's an important distinction, because so much of what goes on today is not directed toward the Lord's ears, it's directed toward human ears. And so much as we get particularly in the matter of contemporary Christian music here in a few moments. The word hymn, you have a hymn book in your behind you or in front of you, I should say, in each pew. The word hymn, H-Y-M-N, means a song of praise to God. We sing hymns. I had a music director years ago who suggested we needed to sing more up-to-date music. And I said, why? God hasn't changed. And what he, I think, wanted was more music that he was interested in, that perhaps entertained him. But sacred music, by definition, is holy music. The problem with contemporary Christian music, CCM as it's sometimes called, is that it is a mixture of the world sound and the world style and the world's music with a thin layer, a thin veneer of Christian lyrics. The world's music being mingled with sacred music. And we hear the excuses that, well, you need to have contemporary Christian music if you're going to win the youth of today. I don't find that anywhere in the Bible, my friends. Or sometimes we'll hear the thought that, well, we are using this music to win people to Christ. Again, you find nothing of that in the scripture. When we started North Star Baptist Church back in 1989, we initially met in a private high school. It was an unusual place. It had at once upon a time been a Catholic high school. And the Catholics had got out of the education business, and a private group, a private consortium, bought the campus and still used it as a private high school, though no longer a Catholic high school. But when the Catholics had the building, or built the building, and it was fairly new, it was built probably in the 70s, I think. But when the Catholics built the place, they put a chapel right in the middle of the complex. Stained glass windows, pews. What an ideal place to start a church. And they had a big altar kind of thing up front. We put a cloth over it and a big pulpit Bible on there. And that is where North Star Baptist Church began. Well, anyway, that summer, the school administration came to me and said, "Reverend, I just wanted to let you know," and what they meant was warn me, "that there is going to be a Christian concert in the facilities this Sunday evening. And I know you folks have a Sunday evening service." They had a large 1,000-seat auditorium further down the corridor. We were meeting in the little chapel that sat 150, maybe 200 people. And just wanted to let you know there's going to be this big concert here on Sunday night. It's going to be a battle of the bands. Christian bands is what the school administration people told me. Well, that morning, that Sunday morning, and I had keys to certain parts of the building, including the auditorium where we stored some of our stuff backstage. When you start a church, you got to get out all your stuff on Sunday morning and set it up, and you take it all down on Sunday night and put it away, and get it all out on Wednesday night and put it all away. And so we had an area in the building where they let us store our things. And it was the backstage of the big auditorium. And so that Sunday morning, I went there and was getting some of our things out to set up for the Sunday morning services. And these bands were setting up for the concert that Sunday evening. It was dimly lit. There were just what they call the stage lights, the work lights on, not the big, spotlights such as are on this platform. But I watched some of these groups set up, and they had invited youth groups from churches in the area. Now, they weren't from our church, folks. But they had invited youth groups from some of the evangelical churches in town, and they came. And I watched one of these rock and roll, and that's what it was, rock and roll band members, allegedly Christian band members, lewdly fondle one of the girls from one of the churches. And that was contemporary Christian music. That afternoon or that evening, the concert fired up. And we could hear it blasting away down the corridor. And intermission time was about the time our services were letting out. And our people wandered out. It was a Sunday evening. I think we started at 6 o'clock back then or whenever it was. And it was intermission time for the concert. And out there on the lawn, I mean, the air was blue with smoke. Tobacco smoke. Girls and fellas, but girls wearing these raggedy blue jeans that were to the point of being immodest. There were so many holes in them. There was policemen there on the site to maintain law and order. But mind you, this was a Christian concert. And folks, that's what contemporary Christian music is all about. But I digress. Sacred music is music for the glorification and the worship of our Heavenly Father. And all through the Scripture, whether it's in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, it always points to heaven. Yet we won't take the time tonight to go to the book of Revelation and see the angelic choirs there singing glory to God in heaven. Amen. But there is another type of music that is present, and I would, for our purposes here tonight, call it secular music. I'm making a distinction here tonight between secular and worldly, but I'm using the word secular here tonight in a neutral sense. For example, the Happy Birthday song. Now, that's not sacred music, but that's not worldly music in the sense that we're going to see here in just a moment. It's we sing Happy Anniversary to somebody here, I think yesterday, was it? Or is it here? I forget. Whenever. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Secular music, much classical music, most classical music could come under the category of secular music. John Philip Sousa's The Stars and Stripes Forever is secular music. On Wisconsin is secular music. All the university fight songs and so forth, that's secular music. It's not sacred, it's not wrong, it's just neutral in its spiritual character. But there is another type of music. And we hear it all the time. I call it the world's music, the music of the world. And remember in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 that the apostle said, be not conformed to this world. Well, if there is anything that is quintessential of the world, it's the world's music. We hear it all the time. You go into McDonald's, it's playing on the sound system. You go to the mall, it's playing in the background. It's all around us. We hear it all the time. You say, well, how do you find the world's music? Potter Stewart was an associate justice of the Supreme Court back in 1964, and he made this comment, which I thought was interesting. He said, pornography is hard to define, but I know it when I see it. And I would say that the music of the world can be hard to define, but I know it when I hear it. And one thing you'll almost always hear is a rock beat in the background. But we'll talk more about that here momentarily. In our city, Each summer, they have what they call a blues fest. And Duluth has gone from being I guess you'd call it a post-industrial city. And it's one of the things that is an attraction there today is all the tourism. And down in the bayfront area of St. Louis Bay, which is the entrance to Lake Superior, they have a big, media stage for concerts, mostly rock and roll kind of concerts. But in August of each year is the Blues Fest. And you don't have to go out to hear it. I mean, you can hear it a mile away blasting away down there. But the music is largely barroom music. Raunchy music. Music that alludes to immorality and drunkenness and the things of the world. That's the world's music. There is a place in the tourist district of our town. And it's a very decent district, very nice hotels and restaurants and all kinds of shopping and tourist attractions to see. But there is one sleaze joint in the whole area. It's a strip joint. And at times in the past, I've walked my dog down the street and I'd have to walk by that place. And I could hear the heavy throbbing beat of the bass guitar and the drums inside. Folks, that's the world's music. We've all heard... you pull up at a stoplight and a car pulls up alongside of you and it's booming and banging and whether it's rock or rap, I mean, it's the world's music. It's all around us. And I don't intend tonight to take a long symposium on the characteristics of rock and roll music. But there's been the world's music and it's been around for a long time. If we'd go back more than 100 years ago, there was honky-tonk music, the barroom music. Particularly of the red light districts of New Orleans and St. Louis. It was called honky tonk. And then in the World War II era came what was called jazz music. And I won't go into all of that here tonight, but it was very popular in that era of popular music. It was the world's music. And then in the years between World War I and World War II came swing music, another form of the world's music. And along with that came the rhythm and blues, which just came to be known as blues music. And after World War II, another genre of music began to develop in America that became and remains exceedingly popular, country western music. Now, this last winter I preached out in Colorado, and it was a cowboy church. And there is such a thing as Western music, and it's not necessarily wrong. But country Western, as we know it today, is basically just a Mid-South or a Western kind of rock and roll. It's the world's music. And you hear it all the time. I hear it all the time. And then in the 1950s, another kind of music came on the scene in America, and all for that matter, all across the world. And you know what I'm talking about, rock and roll music. I am old enough that I grew up with rock and roll music. I can remember as a boy in grade school, a guy singing on the radio called Elvis Presley. And I can remember as a senior in high school, a group from England coming to America called the Beatles. And it's the world's music. And there are all kinds of flavors of rock and roll music, from Elvis to the Beatles to country rock to bubblegum rock to teeny bopper rock to acid rock to hard rock to soft rock to punk rock to heavy metal rock to gothic rock to reggae rock, just to name a few. I found a website one day that categorized 180 different forms of rock and roll music. But when we boil it all down, folks, it's just the world's music. And the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And most godly Christian people don't love the world, but folks, we sometimes love the things that are in the world. And I would submit to you tonight that the world's music is not for God's people. And it will put you into the old nature and keep you in the old nature. And that is whence all the problems in the Christian life develop. And so what does that have to do with the churches? Well, it's simply this. For the last probably 50 years, maybe a little longer, shorter than that, 40 years, I'll say 50 years, there has been an effort to come into the through the side door of the church, the world's music. It started back in the 1960s with popular gospel quartets that in and of themselves were not particularly wrong. But I think, for example, some of the Southern gospel quartets. But it quickly degenerated into just worldly music. I saw a Southern gospel quartet several years ago, and they were actually doing dance steps as they sang their music. They call it choreography. But it's a combination of the world with that which should be godly. And the underlying principle of most of contemporary Christian music is entertainment. Now, from the scripture, ought music to entertain us or ought it to glorify God? Well, you know the answer to that is it's to glorify God. But what has happened with all this contemporary Christian music is it's become a means of entertaining the people in the audience. Contemporary music. The world's music. I told a story in Sunday school this morning of just happening into the rehearsal of a contemporary Christian group there in Duluth. And I know some of you weren't in the Sunday school class. There is a walkway system in Duluth called the Skywalks, and I walk in the winter. We have severe winters there in Duluth. And part of that walkway system goes by the Entertainment and Convention Center. And that particular day, there was a group in there called the Newsboys. And they were preparing for a concert that night. And I stepped into the back of that 2,000-seat auditorium. The doors were wide open, and they were getting ready to rehearse and begin for the program that night. They were in their tie-dyed and torn blue jeans, and that music fired up. I have no idea what the decibel of it was. It almost knocked me over. The smoke and the pyrotechnics, you would not have known any difference if it had been the Rolling Stones or some group like that on the platform. But contemporary Christian music takes the style of the world, the rhythm of the world, the chord structures of the world, and adds a Christian lyric to it, and the lyric is usually very shallow, and most of the time you can't even understand it. And they justify it as trying to reach the youth, reach young people with the gospel. I'm not aware of anyone that I know that who's been truly born again in such a concert. It's Christian entertainment or religious entertainment. And the problem is it's coming into the churches. My wife has a large family, and much of it is located in the Duluth Superior area. And we wind up going to funerals from time to time there in the community. And it's just amazing. Churches that even have a reputation for being Bible-believing churches. And on the platform is the drum set and all the accoutrements of a rock band. The praise bands. I mentioned in Sunday school this morning a church in our community called the Vineyard Church. It's a charismatic church, but it is high power, full blast rock and roll. And I'm not exaggerating when I say that when visitors come, they actually offer you earplugs because the music is so blasting loud. And I've had relatives go there and tell us that. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. As I said, there are many concerts that come to our city. And I usually ignore the most of them, but one of the so-called famous people who was born in Duluth, Minnesota, I really could care less, but one favorite son of our city is a guy by the name of Bob Dylan. And I'm sure most of you older folks here have heard of Bob Dylan. And he was a very popular rocker, particularly beginning back in the Vietnam War era, and he was an anti-war guy, and sang all this folk music opposing the war back in the 1960s. That's 50 years ago, and he's still around. But our town makes a big deal about Bob Dylan having been born there. There's a street in Duluth called Bob Dylan Way. And believe it or not, they have manhole covers downtown that have a picture or a name Bob Dylan on it. And he could care less about his hometown. Well, finally, they persuaded him to come back to Duluth and do a concert here a couple of years ago. Of course, I didn't go. But it was at the big entertainment center downtown, again, the convention center, and there was probably a couple thousand people there for that concert. And what was interesting is the next day in the local newspaper, there was on the front page a full-color picture of Bob Dylan and his band. And all across the stage were the various people in the backup band, the guitar players and the backup singers and so forth. And you've no doubt seen them on in news or on television, whatever. And something struck me. Wait a minute. That looks just like what I've seen in churches that have praise groups, where there are people scattered across the platform. Now, there's not anything intrinsically wrong with having a group of people up here helping, leading, and singing. But there is a clear parallel. I wonder who is imitating who. Who is imitating whom? Better English. And I don't think Bob Dylan was emulating or imitating church singing groups. It's just another example of how church groups are imitating what the world is doing. And it's in churches all over the land, folks. And one of the first big steps when a church begins to move hard to the left is that the music shifts. It often is little by little. Sometimes it's all at once. It depends. But beware, beware, beware. And I know as long as your pastor is the pastor, that'll never happen here. Amen. But it usually doesn't start in the pulpit. It starts in the homes of the members, of the music they listen to. On the local Christian radio station. I mean, there's a couple, quote-unquote Christian radio stations in our town, and you turn them on, and if you didn't really know what you're listening for, you couldn't tell the difference between them and the hard rock stations out in the world. The same basic sound. And so beware. Thank God for the godly music you have here at Mukwonago Baptist Church. It's a blessing. And it's a notch higher than most even fundamental Baptist churches have across the country. Be thankful for it. And the Word of God says, sing unto the Lord. And that's what this church does. And that's what the music you've heard on the platform here today has done. Singing unto the Lord. And so there's pressures today for churches to move to the left. I read articles in church literature about how churches are shifting and how churches are changing. And we've touched today on the problems of the new evangelical philosophy, which is becoming the emerging church philosophy, which is just a notch below being a liberal. But there are things that happen. The Bible changes. The music changes. The focus of the church changes from winning people to Christ to doing social action. To, rather than winning people to Christ, to being scholarly. And that's happening in fundamental circles, folks, let me tell you. Thank God for a pastor in a church who preaches the gospel and is focused on winning the lost here in your city of Mukwonago. And so your pastor's asked me to speak along these lines today, and I've been happy to do it. But be alert. Be careful. Be on guard, because the winds of change are blowing out there, and they're blowing in a wrong direction. Father, tonight, thank you for the opportunity to preach your word and to teach basic principles. Father, may we be a people who adhere to and uphold sacred music rather than compromised music that has the sound of the world. Father, thank you for this church and its leadership and the stands that they take and the convictions they hold. and bless them for it. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.